This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at sd.net.
Good morning. It's 7:45. Senate Education will come to order. Welcome to everyone who is here physically present and those listening via remote. It's a pleasure to have you with the Senate Education Committee this morning. A reminder, if you are testifying before the committee on any matter that it has in its interest, please sign in at the rear podium. If you appear before the committee speaking on the behalf of anyone other than yourself, please ensure that you are appropriately registered with the Secretary of State's office. If we find you here without the appropriate adornment, we will kindly escort you to the Secretary of State's office where you may register and correct that oversight. Please, at this point, take the opportunity to silence any portable electronic communication device or other electronic device that may be so inclined to disrupt. Today's penalty will be administered for violation of the policy by Senator Boland. He will gladly assist you in making a charitable donation to the entity of his choice, and his decision is final and non-appealable. I think we just barely squeaked over the quorum level. So, Mona, if you would please call the roll, we will get our formal business underway.
Senator Boland?
Here.
Heinert? Excuse. Jensen?
Here.
Smith?
Here.
Steinhauer?
Here.
Shane Fish?
Here.
Curd?
Here.
We have a quorum.
Quorum exists, minus one. We have a couple of pages helping us this morning. Before you get too far away, come back. We're going to ask you to introduce yourself, tell us who you are, where you're from, and in what direction you are headed after your two-week stint with the legislature.
Hi, my name is Riley Christofferson. I'm from Mitchell, South Dakota, and I'm planning to go to USD for political science next year.
Riley, is it R-I-L-I-E, R-I-L-E-Y, R-I-L-E-E?
It is R-Y, capital L-E-I-G-H.
Riley.
Yes.
Well, you spell it wrong. My daughter's name is also Riley. She's R-I-L-I-E, but I know there's many variations. Thank you for being here. Good morning.
I'm Carlene Berger. I'm from Winter, South Dakota, and I plan to go to SDSU and double major in political science and history.
Nice. We have to ask you how you spell your name because we asked Riley, so you have to let us know. Then we'll remember how to say it.
Okay. It's C-A-R-L-E-E-N.
C-A-R-L-E-N?
E-E-N.
E-E-N. Carlene. Thank you. If you have anything to hand out to the committee, please hand it to Carlene or Riley so they can give it to us. Reminder also to direct your questions through the chair when the opportunity for questions and answers come and response is the same. That'll allow the committee to conduct its business with the proper decorum fitting of the Senate Education Committee. We have assembled and have a quorum. We will entertain a motion to approve the minutes from the last meeting. Moved by Senator Jensen, seconded by Senator Smith. Any discussion on those minutes? If not, all in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? No, the minutes are approved. We have a couple of items on the agenda this morning. Those of you who follow the education closely, like Hawks, circling above, will recall that last year Dr. Jones was appointed as the interim secretary of the Department of Education, and since that time has been thoughtfully appointed as the permanent secretary of the Department of Education. As we all know, in law and in legislative matters, words matter. And because the appointment was to the position of the interim secretary, the Senate certainly felt, and I believe the governor's office agreed, that it was appropriate to make sure T's are crossed and I's are dotted should any question arise later. And so he is here this morning for the Senate, the committee giving its advice and consent to the appointment of Secretary of Education of Dr. Benjamin Jones from Lincoln County, Sioux Falls. If there's anyone here this morning that would like to give testimony to the committee in support of the nomination of Dr. Jones, we'd be happy to entertain it at this point. Good morning, Ms. Sanderson.
Good morning, Senator Curd. Senators, my name is Tiffany Sanderson. I serve as the governor's senior education policy advisor, and I come before you this morning to encourage your favorable consideration for the advice and consent of Dr. Benjamin Jones as the permanent secretary of education. I've had the opportunity to work with Dr. Jones since April of last year. And since that time, he's led several major efforts, including going through the strategic planning process and revision. The resulting plan, as he shared with you earlier in session, recognizes the department's role in leading education in the state and the role that they have in supporting local school districts in their work with students and educators. Dr. Jones has undertaken significant work as well to address South Dakota's opportunity gap and how that impacts our low-income and Native American students. He has established a civics education advisory group to inform priorities for the next 3 years, and he has encouraged adoption of knowledge-rich curriculum to ensure that students are prepared when they face their adult lives. He has shared details of that work earlier in session, so I won't go into further detail, but as Secretary of Education, Dr. Jones is responsible for leading the state's K-12 education, the State Historical Society, and the State Library. He has been an advocate for all three arms of the department and led work that will lend to the betterment of our next generation of professionals, business leaders, and engaged citizens. This morning, I thank you for your support of Dr. Benjamin Jones as Secretary of Education.
Thank you. Anyone else who would like to appear before the committee in support of the nomination of Dr. Jones to the Secretary of Department of Education as appointed by Governor Noem? If there are none, if there's anyone that would like to appear in opposition to the nomination of Dr. Jones as the Secretary of the Department of Education, we'd entertain such testimony at this point.
Made him look.
It was a head fake, I guess. For those of you that can't see, Senator Jensen was just adjusting his jacket, I think, is what happened. Any questions regarding the appointment of Dr. Jones to the position? Senator Bolin.
Thank you. I would have a question, first of all, for Ms. Sanderson.
Please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I believe in what you said is there's three arms or three sections. What would you define those as in your little statement? That struck me. What are those?
Please.
Mr. Chair, Senator Bolin, so the Department of Education has the K-12 education efforts, the State Historical Society, and the State Library within its purview.
Okay. That answers my question.
Great.
Thank you.
Thank you.
But now I have a number of questions for the
Secretary?
For the nominee.
For the nominee. We'll see if the nominee is present. Oh, he is. Morning, Dr. Jones. Welcome back. Senator Bolin.
Morning. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Dr. Jones, what steps have you taken to prevent future gear-up situations, if I could use that expression, from ever taking place again?
I think the biggest thing with gear-up was having internal controls in place with the fiscal management, which maintained fidelity over the funds that were state and federal funds. I think the real issue with Gear Up was that large of a grant going to an entity that couldn't manage the funds. And so when we think about who to partner with for initiatives and grants and so forth, that's the first thing that we need to check into is what's their experience managing that type of money, that large amount of money, what is their experience in achieving the objective of grants and so forth. So, and that's a conversation that was, it's a part of everything that we do and as far as the grants go, and also just the reality of, is this something that we need to put the time and effort into achieving? Is this grant really something that we'd like to focus on?
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Further?
Yes, I do. How do you define or explain the concept of local control of schools?
Mr. Chair, well, in statute, I think that it's kind of clearly defined with in the practice of the role of the defined role of the department to do standards, to manage certification of teachers, to understand assessment and so forth, and then the authorities that are expressed to the department really focus on those types of things, which, as I said before, that senior high school senior in Brookings who when I described my job, and the superintendent was there and he described his job, the 12th grader said, so the secretary's job is to say what education is, and the superintendent's job or the local board's job is to provide that education. So in the practice of working with students, that kind of focus thing, assessing what the practices should be for their locality, their students, with their teachers and their staff, that's what they do. So there's been a few bills, arguably one was up yesterday that really in House Ed, it may be coming to you, talking about kindergarten eligibility and the state law setting that birth date at September 1st. The law is seeking to change that and allow some parental control and flexibility with that. There was part of the law would insert the Department of Education into a process for which we've never played a role. And so I advocated against that bill for that purpose.
Okay. I have continued questions. Thank you. Ms. Anderson identified the state library as one of your three arms or division. Can you explain why we need a state library?
Sure, Mr. Chair. The state library, statutorily, I believe they are in support of your work, anybody else in the government's work. They retain all government documents for the state of South Dakota.
So say that. I didn't quite.
They retain and maintain all of the state's documents. So if you want to, if you're researching a bill like I was a couple of weeks ago, it was expressed in somebody's memory in the department that the governor, Governor Rounds, had vetoed that bill. And so I said, okay, I'd like to know what his veto memorandum said. And within 30 minutes, the state library had found it and sent it to me. So there's that kind of service to all the government officials from GFP to Ed to legislature, that if there's a government document, that they retain that document. Probably the largest thing, though, for which most South Dakotans enjoy is the interlibrary loan that they support. They provide the databases and the backbone for that to occur, and they also contribute to the interlibrary loan. So the community libraries pay a fairly small fee for something that's provided, or in some cases it's free, that the state pays for to back up the community library, thus enabling a very small library to have almost every book available to the Library of Congress could be available to a person in a small town in South Dakota.
Follow up on this. Is this something that at least a portion of the work that the state library does in an age of rapidly expanding technology, is this something that could be downsized?
Mr. Chair. It's already been downsized, I think. The state library used to have 28 FTE, and now I believe they're down to 22. They lost some positions a few years ago. So that's already occurred to some degree. And the work primarily of the staff in the state library now revolves around some support to Braille and Talking Book, the support to the interlibrary loan that I already stated, and then supporting community libraries who have a wide variety of educational background in their librarian expertise in their work. So backing them up with all kinds of questions from book purchases to how do I get interlibrary loan, should I buy this database, that database, what's the difference between DSL and broadband, these types of things that the state library supports the community libraries with.
Okay. Just want to keep – is that okay? Is
anyone else?
Yeah. That's fine.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Dr. Jones, I realize that the question I'm going to ask, you would probably answer differently at 11 o'clock at the bar at Nunda on a Saturday night than what you do publicly, but it's this. What is your greatest frustration in your current role? Your greatest frustration?
Wow.
Mr. Chair, may I not be recognized for that?
Just suggest you don't say it's your boss at this point, since we're appointing at their recommendation.
No.
Please.
My greatest frustration. I think I've spent my entire professional life in large governmental organizations. I spent 3 years in a unit that prided itself on getting stuff done and understanding the mission and understanding that mission was more important than following a guideline written by a guy 3,000 miles away in Washington, D.C. and so forth. So that taught me a lot about priorities and common sense and the use of that. And so picking and choosing where I focus my time is largely driven by one of the things that's my frustration is that it's a bureaucracy of 188 FTE in DOE, State Library, and History. Many of them have been there for more than 10 years. There's ingrained habits and so forth. Many habits are very effective. But if there's a new idea, I think the greatest frustration is understanding, okay, this is a priority now. How are we going to go and achieve the priority based on the tools we have at hand and the priorities and the needs of the people of South Dakota?
Senator Smith? Senator Boland?
Thank you. I have information here from appropriators, and like the State Library, just for salaries, we spend more than $1,350,000 just for salaries and benefits at the State Library. Do you think that's excessive?
Mr. Chair, not at my fingertips. I think that the 22 people, 1.3 million, 22 people, and again, for the services they provide. When you think of information today is at our fingertips in so many ways, and yet we have less and less ability to understand what it means, to interrogate it, to put it against our experience and so forth, because we're just awash in information from, and not only text, but graphic information and so forth. The screens that are in every room you go into now. You can't take your spouse to dinner without being inundated with in a restaurant with screens and so forth. Understanding what that means is vital for our society. And librarians are the most professionally trained people to manage information. And so I think in the library of the 21st century, which has far fewer books than it used to have, but it has, as I said before, access to far more information. Understanding the professional competence in which to sort through all of that data, information, material, and make sense of it is very important and worth $1.3 million.
Okay. One last question. Of those people working in the State Library, at least five of them are listed as administration. Does that seem to you top heavy? I'll just list it off here: information officer, secretary, director, assistant director, senior secretary, all listed under the category of administration.
I think, Mr. Chair, in the day to day, there are probably two people who are secretarial staff, the director. And there's a deputy director who also manages a division in the library. So he's kind of double-tasked.
Okay. Thank you.
When you're talking about libraries, question popped into my mind. Do you know if any libraries in South Dakota entertain drag queen time, story time programs?
Mr. Chair.
I might redirect the question. I think the public libraries are controlled by the cities and don't fall directly under the auspices of the Department of Education. Am I correct in that?
That's correct.
So I'm not going to ask you to answer that question, yeah. But I understand that, you know, I think we all understand the question Senator Jensen asked, but without that being under your purview, I don't know that it's appropriate for you to attempt to answer. Unless you want to answer as a citizen of the state of South Dakota, then I'd be happy to entertain your answer.
Your description of how they're libraries are run by local community city councils or local library boards, and the state library supports their work. So programming choices that they make is up to them.
Thank you.
Other questions for Dr. Jones or Ms. Sanderson? Senator Bowen.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to make a motion if that would be in order.
That would be completely appropriate.
I would like to make a due pass motion on the permanent advise and consent for Dr. Jones to be the permanent Secretary of Education under this administration. Thank you.
Senator Bowen has moved that the Senate Education Committee do recommend the Senate give its advice and consent to the appointment of Dr. Benjamin Jones to the position of Secretary of the Department of Education. Seconded by Senator Jensen. Any comments on your motion?
Yeah, briefly. When I first found out that Mr. Jones was going to be the interim secretary, I don't know where we were in Sioux Falls, but I do know I was delighted, and I'm delighted now to make the motion that he be confirmed. But I do think the state library needs some revamping. I'll just leave it at that. And I'm very confident in this gentleman's ability to handle the job, and I'm hoping that I would also like to, you know, we've in my 12 years in the legislature started with Mr. Oster, and then there was, and there's been like four or five secretaries. I guess I'll just leave it at that. I know you work at the pleasure of the governor, but I hope you stay in the position for an extended period of time. I think that would bring some stability and positive movement as far as the department's concerned. I'll leave it at that. Thank you. I urge a yes vote.
Thank you, Senator, for your comments. Further comments on Senator Boland's motion? Senator Heinert.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, good morning, Dr. Jones. I would just say that through the time I've gotten to know Dr. Jones, he's seem to want to work with our communities. He's visited tribal schools. That's something that hadn't happened before. I think he even called me and asked where he could take Lakota language lessons in Sioux Falls. That means something to me. And so I appreciate his efforts. I look forward to working with him in the future. And I think this is a good appointment. So, Wopila Tonka.
Thank you, Senator. Any further comments on Senator Boland's motion? I was going to ask you a question in TAP code, but I'm not sure anyone else would understand what that was. And if anyone doesn't understand, you can ask. Thank you. You can ask Dr. Jones at the end. It's a military secret for those of us. The motion before the Senate Education Committee is that we recommend that the Senate do advise and consent to the appointment of Dr. Benjamin Jones from Lincoln County, Sioux Falls, to the position of Secretary of the Department of Education for the state of South Dakota. All in favor will vote aye, yes, or yay. Those opposed, nay. Mona, if you would please ask us our opinion.
Senator Bowen?
Aye.
Heinert?
Aye.
Jensen?
Aye.
Smith?
Aye.
Steinhauer?
Aye.
Shane Fish?
Aye.
Kurd?
Aye.
Seven yeas, no nays.
There are seven affirmative and none opposed. Congratulations again. It's a good reunion tour to see you here. Thanks for being here this morning, Dr. Jones.
You're welcome. I'd be remiss if I didn't mention that the department in the rotunda today has displays about the state to student and what the DOE does for South Dakota kids. So I'd ask you to step down there sometime today.
Thank you. Thank you for being here this morning. And that will move to the floor with a unanimous decision by the committee this morning. We may try and hold that discussion on the Senate floor on Thursday. I think some folks may be in attendance here Thursday that may want to see that occur. So it may not be tomorrow for those of you that are interested in the scheduling. Next matter before the committee this morning is House Bill 1032, revise the authority of the Board of Education Standards to promulgate rules regarding certification. House Bill 1032. Anyone that would like to give supportive or proponent testimony for House Bill 1032? Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Carla. Excuse me, I'll start over. So, good morning. My name is Carla Langang. I'm the administrator for the Office of Educator Certification in the Department of Education. Today, I ask your support of House Bill 1032. This bill provides the Board of Education Standards authority to promulgate rules that would allow qualified individuals to re-enter the teaching profession in a timely and cost-effective manner. In a reality where schools struggle to find teachers, this bill would be one more tool to address teacher shortages. Likely one of your first questions regarding the bill is, what would the rules look like? We envision the rules would do two things, both of which are summarized on page 1, lines 14 through 16 of the bill. First, the rules would create what we call an inactive certificate. This certificate would allow the individuals to postpone normal renewal requirements for a period of time, basically until they decide to re-enter the profession. So who might this impact? A teacher who leaves the profession to raise a family. A teacher who leaves the profession to care for a critically ill family member. Or a teacher who plans to retire but wants the option of re-entering the profession if needed. Any of these qualified individuals would be able to take advantage of the new inactive certificate and jump back into the profession after an absence. Second, the rules would allow an individual with an invalid certificate, which means they failed to renew their certificate on time, to reinstate the certificate through completion of existing renewal requirements and a payment of $100. This would be instead of the current rules that require someone with an invalid certificate to take 6 university credits at an approximate cost of $250 per credit. So who could this impact? Teachers who fail to renew their certificate on time due to life circumstances, and probably the one that we see the most often is individuals who receive their teaching certificate in South Dakota, have moved out of state, and now want to move back to South Dakota. Again, the previously qualified individual would be able to re-enter the profession in a timely and cost-efficient manner. Now that you have a sense of our intent for the rules, I would share these reasons for you to support the bill. First and foremost, the rules would remove barriers to qualified educators re-entering the profession. This would impact schools by helping to address statewide teacher shortages, and it would impact students by facilitating the return of qualified teachers back into the classroom. Second, the certificate options would save the individual certificate holders time and money. And finally, as you know, any proposed rule changes would go through the normal rules review process, allowing ample opportunity for the public to weigh in, as well as a final review by the legislature's Rules Review Committee. For these reasons, I would ask you to vote yes on House Bill 1032. I've shared a document with you that explains our intent with if we receive the authority to create the invalid and inactive status certificates. So I'd like to take a few moments to go over these with you to explain it in better detail. So first I'll start with the inactive status. That's the first page. So with this one, you'll see we currently have nothing like this in rule. What we want to do is this will allow applicants who are not acting as an educator to receive an inactive certificate. In order to be eligible, they must have a valid or active certificate. The cost is $25. It will be a 5-year certificate. And if they want to renew it in 5 years, they need to complete the 1 hour of suicide and prevention training, which is a statutory requirement. If they want to reactivate their certificate, then they need to complete the current renewal requirements for their certificate type, and they can receive a 1-year interim certificate to complete the renewal requirements if they don't have them completed. The second one is the reinstatement of an invalid educator certificate. The top chart does a comparison of the current rules and the new rules. So currently, a certificate is invalid when the renewal requirements are not completed by October 1st of the year of expiration. This is the current rules and what we would propose in the new rules. To renew an invalid certificate currently, requirements increase for all educators. That's the penalty for allowing your certificate to become invalid. Under the new rules, we would like the existing renewal requirements to remain the same and not increase, but a penalty of $100. The cost to renew an invalid certificate currently is 3 to 6 additional university credits, which is approximately $750 to $1,500, and the new rules would be $100. The bottom chart explains the renewal requirement, so you can better understand the increase right now that we currently have. I'm going to focus on professional teacher and advanced teacher. So if someone is a professional teacher, currently to renew their certificate, they have multiple options. They can be a mentee in the state-approved mentor program for 2 years. They could be a mentor in the state-approved mentor program for 2 years. They could receive national board certification or recertification. And their last option is 6 education-related credits. 3 must be university credits, and 3 can be credits of any kind. So if they allow their certificate become invalid, those renewal requirements go away. The only way they can renew their certificate is through 6 university credits. The proposed new rules allows them to keep those very same 4 options to renew their certificate, but then the $100 penalty instead of the increased cost for 6 university credits. The second one is the advanced teacher. They have 3 options to renew their certificate. They can be a mentor in the state-approved mentor program, receive national board certification or recertification, or they can have 6 credits of any kind. So this means contact hours, etc. If they let their certificate become invalid, to renew that certificate, they must have 6 university credits. So with the new rules, they would still have the same renewal options as they did prior to letting their certificate become invalid, and then they would have the $100 penalty. Thank you.
Before you get away, I'm going to ask you a question about your yes, chart, sir. If that's all right.
Yes.
So let's my vignette will be, let's assume for the sake of the discussion that I'm an advanced teacher, and I let my certificate lapse for whatever reason. It's an invalid certificate. And then under the rules that are promulgated, I can renew for $100. So I have a valid certificate now. And then am I correct in that the next time that I'm up for renewal, I'll have to fall under the renewal of a valid certificate guideline? Is that correct?
It's a little bit different. So if you let your certificate become invalid, you still have to meet the renewal requirements in order to renew your certificate. So those were the same renewal requirements. So, for example, if I wanted to renew my certificate with 6 credits of any kind, I let my certificate become invalid, I forgot it was up for renewal this year, then I can still renew by submitting those 6 credits of any kind and then paying the penalty.
I understand. Or could I become a mentor immediately?
If you had been a mentor the previous 2 years, that would still be an option for renewing. Yes.
Or certified by the National Board again.
Correct.
Okay. Any other questions before she escapes too far? Senator Boland?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. The money that is it's used for the, when you pay your, get a renewal, does that go into what's called the Institute Fund?
Mr. Chair? Yes, it does.
I'm going to ask a question I asked 10, 11 years ago. How much money is in the Institute Fund, approximately?
At this time, I'm not sure. That money is used to pay the salaries of the certification officers and to update our certification system. So, and then up to 2/3 of that money can go for professional practices. So I would say really we basically carry a negative balance because our costs exceed that.
So it sounds like there's no money in there right now.
Just to follow up,
start renewing people quickly.
How's that shortfall covered,
Mr. Chair?
Please,
it's paid through general funds.
Okay, I'll wait. Thank you for your answer.
Yes.
Thank you, Senator. Thank you. Further proponents for House Bill 1032.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, morning. Members of the committee. My name is Mary McCorkle, and I'm the president of the South Dakota Education Association. I also have had the pleasure over a number of years to chair the Commission on Teaching and Learning. The Commission on Teaching and Learning partnered with the Department of Ed to work on teacher certification a number of years ago. And in our conversation, about teacher certification and recommending changes. We also had in-depth conversations about the inactive or invalid teaching certificates. And in that conversation, we made recommendations to create ways to bring educators back into our schools by reactivating those certificates. At the time, as we were done with our work, in the process of review, we didn't have the authority to make those recommendations. And so from that, the department has brought that request to you, and I would urge your support. Thank you.
Thank you, Mary.
Further proponents for House Bill 1032. Anyone that would like to testify in opposition to House Bill 1032 this morning? Questions, committee discussion, and or action on House Bill 1032? Senator Steinhauer. Senator Steinhauer moves to pass House Bill 1032.
I'll second it.
Seconded by Senator Boland. Comments on your motion, Senator?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I really appreciate the explanation of where you intend to go with this rulemaking authority. Sometimes it's a little uncomfortable as a legislator to delegate that authority, but I fully understand how much I don't know. Well, no, I guess I don't. I don't even know what I don't know. Maybe I should correct that. So it's a pleasure to see what you're doing, and I think the intent here, when we have teacher shortages, we need more people in our teacher profession to make it easier to renew or get back involved is excellent. So thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Further comments on Senator Steiner's motion? Senator Boland.
Yeah, thank you. And I'm going to I seconded the motion. I endorse what Senator Steinhauer said. I would like to see at some point in time in the future. I don't think we need to stop the bill but I'd like to see the finances of the Institute Fund. And this was a controversy 10 or 12 years ago, and I'll just leave it at that. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. The motion before the Senate – Senator Jensen, sorry.
Yep, thank you. Just briefly, I agree with the substance of the bill, but I'm going to vote against it because just on principle that the legislature has given away too much of its authority, and this is just another example of it. Even though I agree with the substance of the bill, I'll be voting no. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Further comments on Senator Steinhauer's motion? The motion before the Senate Education Committee is that House Bill 1032 do receive an affirmative vote and a do pass recommendation to the Senate. All those in favor will vote aye, yes, or yay. Those opposed, nay. Mona, if you would, please.
Senator Boland?
Aye.
Heinert?
Aye.
Jensen?
No.
Smith?
Aye.
Steinhauer?
Aye.
Shanefish?
Aye.
Kurd?
Aye.
6 yeas, 1 nay.
6 yeas and 1 opposed. House Bill 1032 does receive an affirmative vote for a recommendation that the Senate do pass it on. Thank you for coming this morning. The next matter before the committee for its consideration this morning is House Bill 1083. That's renamed the Post-Secondary Technical Institutes as Technical Colleges. Those that wish to appear in support of House Bill 1083. Senator White, good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, committee. As I prepare to address this bill, I have to share with you that I did sit on an advisory board for a technical college for a number of years, and I guess as they were looking for someone to bring this bill, asked if I would consider it, and anything I can do to make the technical education opportunities for our young people greater, I'm going to sign up for it. So this is why I'm here today. So thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, distinguished members of the committee, Mike McCartney, president of the Lake Area Tech, speaking on behalf of all four of our technical presidents today. I'm here as a proponent, first of all, I'm Jim White, District 22, representing the counties of Beadle and Kingsbury. Apologize for that. Your technical institutes, I'm here as a proponent of HB 1083. Your technical institute's goal is to provide quality post-secondary education and training to enable South Dakota's workforce and economy to grow. For some, the perception that we are something less than a college impedes our ability to accomplish that goal. Although South Dakota's technical colleges outperform virtually all other community college systems in the nation, we often find our ability to recruit and attract students difficult to meet South Dakota's industry needs for technical skilled workforce pipelines. I want to emphasize that HB 1083 accomplishes two key things. The name change would align our system with the majority of states across the country. South Dakota is one of only two states that do not use the term technical college for the entities like our technical institutes. The name change would have an undeniable impact on the public perception of technical education in South Dakota. The bill fixes the numerous cases we hear. I was thinking about technical Lake Area Tech, but I want to go to college. Or the parents who inadvertently cull the technical pathway further from their children's post-secondary options, thinking we are not a college. And finally, it bridges the gap of understanding that the technical pathway can be the beginning of a four-year school or degree. I also want to emphasize that the bill is only changing our names from technical institute to technical colleges. It does not shift our mission. It does not make us a community college. This bill codifies that we are, in fact, technical colleges. Changing that perception will further our nationally recognized and ranked technical education system's ability to meet South Dakota's skilled workforce of the future. Your technical institutes are in firm support of this initiative because it's good for our students, it's good for our state's industries, and it's good for the state of South Dakota. The Board of Regents has signed off on this and acknowledges this action today. We urge you to pass, and thank you for your consideration and support of HB 1083. I stand by for questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Further proponents for House Bill 1083.
Good morning, Mr.
Morning.
Chair, members of the committee. My name is Mick Wendell, and I serve as the Executive Director of the South Dakota Board of Technical Education. I'm here to provide testimony in support of House Bill 1083. As noted by Senator White, this legislation would statutorily change the names of our technical institutes to technical colleges. House Bill 1083 would not shift the mission of the state's technical institutes, only the names. We will continue to focus on workforce development, primarily on granting Associate of Applied Science degrees and other credentials preparing skilled professionals to go to work in South Dakota. I should also note that this name change does not change our relationship with the South Dakota Board of Regents. We continue to see the regental institutions as good partners, but we are governed by separate and distinct bodies. House Bill 1083 would align South Dakota with almost every other state in the nation. As many of you know, South Dakota is home to one of the finest technical education systems in the country, but the term institute is antiquated in the two-year post-secondary space. As an example, our office has been working with the Midwest Higher Education Compact, an organization you may know as MEC, to define a peer institution group. The report that we developed with MEC identified 16 two-year institutions, all in the Midwest, with similar academic offerings, student demographics, and industry relationships. Every one of those 16 peer institutions is known as a technical college. Our four institutions are the outliers in the marketplace. A primary goal of the Board of Technical Education is to shift the public perception around the value of technical education in our state. We believe this name change through the passage of House Bill 1083 will help us continue to make progress toward accomplishing that goal and exposing more young people, their families, and other influencers to the value of technical education in South Dakota. So to reiterate, this name change does not change the mission of our institutions. It does align South Dakota with almost every other state in the nation, and it does continue the important work of shifting public perception around the value of technical education. I encourage you to vote yes in support of House Bill 1083. Thank you.
Thank you. Further proponents, House Bill 1083. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. Distinguished members of the committee, I'm Rod Bauer, President and Manager of Kennebec Telephone Company in Kennebec, South Dakota, and that's who I'm representing today. I'm also a member of the Board of Technical Education. I'm here as a proponent of House Bill 1083. I agree with everything that's been said and want to be respectful of time, so I won't repeat any of it. I'll address this from an employer point of view. Kennebec Telephone Company has five business divisions in addition to the telephone company, with a combined total of 54 employees. The technical schools have been a big resource for our current staff and will continue to be a resource for our future staff. In fact, we currently have 4 students in technical school with plans to come back and workforce. The name shift would change public perception and encourage more students to go to a technical college, which would help fill some of the state workforce needs. We have some of the best technical schools in the nation, but still at times, because of the name, students and parents of students overlook it due to the fact it's not called a college. We have experienced it firsthand that a parent or student does not want to go to an institute but a college, even though the skill they want to learn would be best done at the technical school. Overall, the name shift would have a very positive impact on business in South Dakota. I want to urge you to pass House Bill 1083. Thank you for your time. I'm here for questions.
Thank you. Anyone else in attendance that would like to testify in support of House Bill 1083 while we try and grab somebody on the telephone? Mr. Owen, good morning.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, David Owen, South Dakota Chamber of Commerce and Industry. I know how to run a Chamber of Commerce. I know how to build coalitions and address statewide ballot measures. I have some skills as a lobbyist, which is a skill set that plays to various reviews. I don't know anything about running these institutes, but the board I work for knows they're really important to the future of this state workforce. And if they think this will be an advantage and a needed change, we're here to support it. Please pass this bill.
Thank you, Mr. Owen. Any further folks that would like to testify in support of House Bill 1083? Morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Tim Doherty. I'm a registered lobbyist for the South Dakota Home Builders Association. The technical institutes provide an important source of skilled workers for the home building industry, home builders throughout South Dakota. And we think that changing the name from technical institutes to technical colleges will enhance the image of these organizations. And to the extent that it does that, we think it's good for South Dakota, and we urge you to support this legislation.
Thank you, Mr. Doherty.
Thank you, sir.
President McCartney, are you on the phone?
Yes, sir, I am.
Welcome. On the telephone this morning, we have President Mike Cartney. He's the president of Lake Area Tech. He'd like to testify via remote before the committee on support of House Bill 1083. If you're ready, we'd like to hear from you now, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and distinguished members of the committee. I'm Mike Cartney, president of Lake Area Technical Institute, but I'm speaking on behalf of all 4 of your Technical Institute presidents. Thank you for allowing me to testify remotely this morning. I am here as a proponent of House Bill 1083. I also want to emphasize that this bill only changes our names from technical institutes to technical colleges. It does not shift our mission. It does not make us community colleges. What many may not realize is your technical institutes are fully accredited by the Higher Learning Commission on behalf of the United States Department of Education as degree-granting entities for Associates of Applied Science degrees. We process and award federal financial aid. We award college credit. We transfer college credit. We transfer in-college credits. Lake Area Technical Institute and Mitchell Technical Institute have been fully accredited since 1980. Southeast Technical Institute was accredited in 1981, and Western Dakota Tech was accredited in 1983. This is not marketing. This is truth in advertising. It does not change our costs, does not change our mission, does not change our structure. This bill will codify that we are, in fact, technical colleges. Changing that perception will further our nationally recognized and ranked technical education system's ability to meet South Dakota's skilled workforce demands. Your technical institutes are in firm support of this initiative because it's good for our students, it's good for our industry, and it's good for South Dakota. We urge do pass, and thank you for your consideration and support. I will stand by for questions.
Thank you, Mr. President. Further proponents for House Bill 1083, you're welcome to hang on the telephone if you'd like in case there are questions for you. If we disconnect you, we'll try and reconnect, sir.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Welcome.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. I am struggling with a cold, so pardon me. Deborah Owens, Sioux Falls Area Chamber of Commerce. We rise in support of this bill. There's been a lot of testimony in favor of it, so we will just do a me too and ask you to vote yes. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Owen. Further proponents, House Bill 1083.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Greg Dean. I'm with the South Dakota Telecommunications Association, representing South Dakota's broadband providers. We're here today not only to do a me too, but an us too. Thank you.
My gosh, we've had an outbreak of the coughs in the committee room this morning. I have to start handing out masks quickly, I think. Anyone else would like to testify in support of House Bill 1083? If there are none, is there anyone that would like to appear in opposition to House Bill 1083? If there are none, it's appropriate for the committee to entertain questions, discussion, and/or motion on House Bill 1083. Senator Jensen, followed by Senator Boland.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I don't know who this question would go to, but I suppose anybody that wants to rise to the occasion. Will renaming the technical institutes as technical colleges mean that technical college credit hours will now transfer in their entirety to our four-year colleges?
Please.
Mr. Chair, thank you for the question, Senator Jensen. No, this name change would purely just change the name of our institutions. I do have to say that we continue to work on our articulation agreements with the four-year public institutions in the state and working to make a more seamless pathway for credits to transfer from our four institutions into public universities in the state. But this legislation would not in any way be related to that effort.
Thank you, sir. Senator Boland.
I was going to make a motion, but I'll let others perhaps do that, or if there's other questions. I have no questions on this bill.
Other questions? That would be appropriate for you.
Okay. Thank you. At this time, I'd like to make a motion, that a do-pass motion on this particular bill.
Okay. Thank you. Senator Boland has made a motion that the Senate Education Committee do report a do-pass recommendation to the Senate for consideration on House Bill 1083, seconded by Senator Heinert. Comments on your motion?
Very briefly, I think this is very reasonable bill, and I think anything we can do to help and promote the technical institutes and thereby workforce development is a positive thing. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Further comments, Senator Heinert?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and good job bringing a District 26 constituent as a proponent.
Further comments on Senator Boland's motion? For those of you doing your prep work, I'm sure you got your Google machine out and took a look at how college is defined. The internet says that it's an educational institution or establishment, in particular, one providing higher education or specialized professional or vocational training. So it's interesting that it's defines a college as an institute. When we're doing the opposite, we're defining an institute as a college now, so turning it on its head to some degree. The motion before the Senate Education Committee is Senator Boland's motion that the Senate Education Committee do recommend to the full Senate that they do pass House Bill 1083. Those in favor will vote aye, yes, or yay. Those opposed, nay. Mona, if you would help us out, please.
Senator Boland?
Aye.
Heiner?
Aye.
Jensen?
Aye.
Smith?
Aye.
Steinhauer?
Aye.
Shane Fish?
Aye.
Kurd?
Aye.
7 yeas, no nays.
There are 7 yeas and no nays, and House Bill 1083 does receive a recommendation that the Senate do consider it as a do-pass motion. Thank you, President Cartney. We'll talk to you later if we need to.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
There being no opposing testimony and no one voting in opposition, this can be placed on the consent calendar unless there's objection. We'll imagine that it'll appear as such for the Senate to consider. For those of you keeping track, for next meeting, which will be on Thursday, my plan at this point is for the Senate Education Committee to consider House Concurrent Resolution 6007, supporting students and other persons afflicted by epilepsy and raising awareness of epilepsy in South Dakota, and Senate Bill 117 required the Department of Education to establish certain programs for children who are deaf and hard of hearing. And we will not hear Senate Bill 66. That will likely be on the 18th of February, 1 week from today. Is there any other business that the committee would like to consider this morning, announcements or other matters of interest? If not, Senator Steinhauer is itching to make a motion to adjourn, seconded by Senator Jensen. All in favor?
Aye.
Senate Education is adjourned. Thank you.